All right, I'm going to invite to the stage Mr. Dan. He's going to deliver the word this morning.
All right, are we there? Oh, we're there. Yes, we are. All right, so y'all have to forgive my accent, and then I'll forgive yours. So we should all be good today. So my name is Dan. Grotberg is my last name. It's Norwegian. Everybody thinks we're German, but I'm from the Norwegian part of North Dakota originally. I've got three kids. My oldest, Samuel. Oh, thanks. Got my stylist handy here. Came up and fixed my hair. Is that pretty? Oh, that's better. Wow. Yeah. So I got three kids. Oldest is 21. My daughter, Anna, is 20. My youngest son, Nathan, is 19. Will be 19. And Joy and I have been married for 25 years. Amen. We're empty nesters this year, too, so that's even better. We get, Joy and I were out here a long time ago. My oldest two kids were born in Cottonwood. I'm an electrician by trade. Did all my electrical apprenticeship out here. And then we moved back to North Dakota from there, so had Nathan in Fargo, North Dakota, not the movie, the actual place. Very different. So yeah, I just wanted to share a few things that have been on my heart. We've had quite a journey. Is that better? Now it came off. How about that? Did I do it? Is that right? Okay. Yeah, we've had quite a journey the last really 5 years. It's still ticking. Sorry, I broke it, I think. Is that better? I don't know. I think I need help again. Yeah. Duct tape.
Technical support.
Wow. I don't know who let me up here or where this thing. Oh. I think I'm getting the wind. Maybe I'm windy. That's better. Right there. Oh, no.
Right there.
Stop. Oh. There you go. All right. Oh, that's, yes.
Got it.
Whew. All right. So we've had quite a journey the last 5-6 years or so. And so it was on my heart was just to share kind of what the Lord has shown us, what he's done in our life, both as a family and as a couple and as me, in me personally. Before we get started, though, I would love to have, Riley, if you're back there, can you play that first song? I've got a song that's been on my heart, and I just wanted to play it this morning really as a prayer. So I'd love for you all to just close your eyes, and as you hear the words of the song, just pray them out as we spend some time with the Lord just as we get started here. It's about the Lord being the gardener of our heart. And releasing that to him and letting him prune us how we need to be pruned. So, go ahead.
Soil of my soul, pray. to what you want can stay, and what you love can grow. Through the winter, I'm still alive. What you've planted dirt is ever reaching to the light. You prepare me for darkened times. You'll sustain what you have started, and you'll teach me to abide. Be the gardener of my heart, tend the soil of my soul, break up the fallow ground, cut back the overgrown, and I won't shy away. I will let the branches fall, so what you want can stay, and what you love can
you for your process. Thank you, Lord, that you are always good. And I thank you that you are a provider, our healer, our safe place. In Jesus' name. Wow. Isn't God good? So a few years back, about 9 years ago, the Lord told my wife and I, very specifically but at different times, that he was calling us to be like Abraham, where sometimes we pack up our flocks and we move to a new land that he'll show us. And so we've had a few moves. The first 8 years we were married, we moved 5 times. We have moved 4 times in the last 8 years. And so we were living in Western North Dakota. The Lord put on our heart that we were to make a move, basically based on the age that my kids were just entering high school. There weren't a lot of options for us where we were living. We decided not to homeschool at the time. I grew up, I was homeschooled. My wife went to school here in Kamei. So we had two very different experiences with school. When we moved to Wisconsin, so we started looking at houses there. And specifically, it was actually at the place where Joy and I had met in 1996 near a ministry called YWAM, or Youth with a Mission. And a friend of mine said, hey, you guys should check out, you know, this area of Wisconsin. It's really nice. The houses are cheap. The school system is good. So we began the process of looking for a house in that area of Wisconsin. And I remember specifically one weekend, I think it might have been like on a Thursday night, it just hit me. I told Joy, I said, hey, we should call up the realtor and go look at houses tomorrow in Wisconsin. It was about a 9-hour drive from where we were. So it was pretty spontaneous, and I didn't really know why. It was all of a sudden then. So we go down to Wisconsin, set it up with a realtor. We're going to look at six houses. And we go through all of these places, beautiful places, rolling hills of Wisconsin, absolutely gorgeous. Nothing really stuck. And so we're kind of discouraged, headed to the last house. And it was a house I didn't really want to look at. But Joy was like, hey, we should go look at this house. So the realtor and my good friend who's a pastor in Wisconsin were in one car. Joy and I and our kids and another friend were in another. Anyway, we're at the last house. My friend who's a pastor there is a very powerful evangelist. Nobody doesn't hear the gospel when you're with him. And we get to this last house, and we're looking at the house like, yeah, it's nice, but you know, it's really out of our price range. And I look at the over at the island in the kitchen, there were two stools. And our realtor and my friend who's a pastor were sitting at the island praying. Well, here we'd been traveling, you know, throughout the whole day looking at these places, and my friend was witnessing to him. Our realtor ended up accepting the Lord at the last house, sitting at the island, and we go back to North Dakota not with any house, had a little weekend vacation, I guess. And I just remember driving back and saying to the Lord, like, if this was the only reason you had us go there, you have our yes. Like, it's worth it. Whatever it is, we'll go. So long story short, house came up. We ended up putting an offer in on sight unseen. I hadn't been there. My friend did a walkthrough on it. And I knew the structure was good. It was on 13 acres. We ended up picking it up for like $122,000. Did a full remodel on it. Had a great place when we were finished. But in that process, I think in the first month that we were there, the first month that we had the house finished, we hosted a group of students there. And some friends of ours here with Campus Crusade. And anyway, we had 20 students that stayed with us for the weekend. And the day that they left, so they left like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Joy and I went to bed that night. It was a Sunday night. And we went to bed, and I woke up hearing our door open and close. I'm like, oh, that's weird. Like, maybe somebody forgot something. And I'm like, wait a minute. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, this is crazy. So I go out, kind of peek out my bedroom door in the hallway, and I see somebody standing in our hallway. And two things that I don't know why I didn't do. I didn't turn on the light, and I didn't grab my gun. I'm like, all I remember doing was raising my fist up. I said, I don't know who you are, but you better start talking. And he's like, I remember kind of seeing this shadow, like hands go up in the air. No, don't worry, it's just me, Cody. And I'm like, oh. Yeah, it's our friend's husband, Cody Bull. I'm like, oh, like Cody, like, you know, come on and sit down. I walked past him, and I smelled alcohol, and I'm like, Cody, like, you've been drinking? Like, his wife is the pastor's daughter. Like, it's not in his nature. And he's like, ah, oh, yeah, work's been really tough. And I knew it was. I knew they had a hard thing going with the farm. And I'm like, come sit in the living room. And I yelled to Joy. I said, don't worry, it's just Cody Bull. So Joy comes out of the bedroom around the kitchen. She's like, Cody, does Kayla know you're here? He's like, who? Flips the light on. Like, she's like, that's not Cody Bull. I'm like, yeah, I see that now. That's not Cody Bull. So we're sitting there, and he puts his hands up again. He's like, oh, I'm sorry, folks. I left the bar at midnight. I'd been driving around for 2 hours. I used to know somebody who lived here, but I know they don't live here anymore. I ended up in your driveway, and I couldn't leave. And I got up, front door was locked. I was gonna go back to my truck. I couldn't go back to my truck. The garage door was open. He had taken his shoes off when he came in our house. I'm like, so I'm like, he's like, I'm not a burglar. I didn't mean, I'm not gonna steal anything. I'm like, hey man, like you're in our house. I said, you're our guest. And we sat with him, and he told us this story. Of course, you know, he's in and out of sobriety. I used to be in that whole scene too, and I could see in his eyes when he was sober and when he was not. But he was in and out of it, and he's telling me the story of some things he was going through with his business and all these things, and some things happened with his little brother. His little brother died, and he took all the responsibility for it. And so I shared my testimony with him, and I said, you know, Cody, do you want to invite Jesus into your heart? And he's like, you don't know what I've done. You don't know, you know, all the things. And he went on again, and Joy shared some more with him. And as we were sharing, he stops and he stands up and he says, holds out his hands. He said, I know what you people are saying is true because I used to hear my parents say the same thing. And I'm ready now. So we took his hands, we prayed with him, led him to the Lord, went back to his truck. Of course, there's, you know, half-empty beer cans and everything else in the cab and the cup holders and everything, so I chucked them all in the back. And we drove him home, and I said, you know, I wanna invite you, and he had a fiance. I said, I want to invite you and your fiance over for dinner as soon as we can. I'm going to call you tomorrow. So we drove him back, prayed with him. The next morning, I called him, and I said, hey, Cody, this is Dan Grotberg. You were in my house last night. He said, yeah, I remember. And I said, I just want to know what day works for you guys to come over for dinner. And he said, I'm not sure yet. I'll have to talk to my fiance. We'll figure out schedule and what works for her, but I'll let you know. That was the last day I ever heard from Cody Bull. Don't know where he went. Never heard from him again. Tried calling him multiple times. And I just remember sitting with the Lord saying, God, if that's the only reason we're here, you have our yes. And we're listening. it's like the Lord bringing, it's like fish jumping in the boat, right? It was just crazy. He said, you know, there's something that you guys have. I don't know what it was about your home, but I couldn't leave. So that was the start of our life in Wisconsin. I'm thinking, wow, we're going to have all these crazy, cool things happen. And we had crazy things happen that weren't so cool. We had three teenagers in high school in a really, actually, pretty rough place spiritually. And my eldest son went through 4 years of hell in high school. And I, as a dad, who really didn't have my foundation in order. I didn't really know who I was. I parented him very, very differently than the other two kids. I parented out of fear, out of control. I could see the decisions he was making, where they were going to lead, and I figured if I could convince him enough, tell him enough, restrict him enough, that he wouldn't make any of those decisions. So he pretty much did everything that, you know, I tried to have him not do. And I remember something happened and got to the point where we were talking with him. He's going through some things, and I took on so much guilt and shame. Like, this isn't supposed to happen to my son. Like, this happens to other people, not my kids. Like, you know, just terrible, terrible things that going through my mind. I took on so much shame. I remember laying on the couch. I literally felt myself get sick. Got to the point where I was very ready to end my life. And I don't know, I remember telling Joy, like, I just have to take, like, I don't know what we're going to do, but I need to take him on the longest road trip I can possibly find. Like, wherever it is, like, I need to go somewhere. She's like, well, you should go out to Redding, California. We've got friends at the YWAM base there, and there's a church there that we've read a book by one of the pastors, and you should take a trip out there with him. And so we did. 38 hours later, we were in Redding, California. There's a stretch in Oregon that is very dear to my heart because I heard the audible voice of the Lord on the way out there and spoke four very specific things in my life. One of them being, I've got you on a journey that's not easy, but it's good, and breakthrough is coming. You're a good man. Okay, wow. So we get out to California, went to this church, had a great morning service, get there in the evening service, finished up worship, and they had a ministry time at the end of the worship service. And this guy stands up on the stage, he's like, all right, I've got some words of knowledge for some people in the congregation here. And the guy in front of me got a word, I was like, wow, that was really cool. And then he said, and you in the blue plaid shirt, and I'm looking around like, well, I guess that's me. There's like 1,800 people in this room. He says, you know, stand up. So I stood up, and he called out the four very same things that the Lord spoke to me about on the way out there, down to you're on a journey. It's not easy, but it's good, and breakthrough is coming. And do you have a daughter? Yeah, I have a daughter. Yeah, I just want you to know that you're a good man and you're a good dad for your daughter. I was like, what in the world just happened? I was a mess, total wreck. My son's a wreck. Didn't know what hit us, but I knew, like, wow, this is, like, God is so good, so faithful. And so we go back to Wisconsin. I'm thinking, like, wow, journey's not easy, but it's good. Breakthrough is coming. I'm thinking, wow, it's going to get better. Except it didn't. Got actually quite a bit worse. And so I'm thinking, like, okay, Lord, like, what is this? Still trying to figure out. Work was really slow for me at the time, and the Lord gave me an opportunity to get my foundation in order, and that's really the piece that was missing with our family. And he took me through a journey in Romans, really learning about identity, who I was in Christ, not carrying shame. I'm a new creation. I'm not a sinner. Yes, while I was a sinner, Christ died for me, but once I became born again, I've been given a new name, I've been given a new nature and a new identity. Now I need to learn how to live in that identity, and it's still a process. I think that's the number one process we go through as Christians, of learning how to live in the authority, in the freedom, in the power, everything that the Father has, we have access to. And learning actually what we have access to as sons and daughters is so crazy powerful. So we're at a church service in Wisconsin, and the guy that was speaking, they had a ministry time at the end, and he called Joy and I up, and he said, I want you guys to know, like, the house you're in isn't going to be your last home. And we're like, okay, just built this amazing kitchen, and we got 13 acres and a spring and bears and, you know, you name it, there's stuff there. And it was just beautiful. So we're like, okay. So as Joy and I are praying, she says, you know, the Lord's going to bring us a buyer. We're not actually going to have to list the house. And we're like, okay. So in the process, we're going through all this stuff as a family, learning about identity, learning about yeah, just all these things that the Lord is doing, building, rebuilding my foundation. And my oldest son, so Sammy, skipped his last, so every summer we would drive out to this place in California that we went to. As a family, we would take a month, and I would shut my business down and say, this is what we're committed to. So we would go out, kids would go to youth conference, they'd have an amazing time, take notes. And that's kind of what fueled us for the year. We were in a very, very rough place spiritually as far as church access goes to where we were. And so my son's senior year, he said, Dad, I want to go to this youth conference out there. And I know I'm going to be skipping my senior year, my last football game of our senior year, but it's something I feel like the Lord has put on my heart to do. And I'm like, what do you need? Let me know what you want. Like, it's fully, you know, we'll pay for whatever you want to do. So they go out there. He skips his last football game. Of course, they were playing a team that wasn't even in our conference. They were down 50-0 at halftime. They knew they were going to get blown away. on his way back from this conference, we flew out there together, and way back he says, I actually want to apply for the ministry school that this church has. I said, okay. I think that'll work. And so he applies for ministry school, comes back, of course the coaches are angry, skipped his senior year. A lot of things went on, and so he gets down again. I'm like, son, football isn't your identity. Basketball isn't who you are. I know who you are. God knows who you are. You made a decision that was going to impact the rest of your life. And I want you to know I love you. I care about you. I'm so sorry this happened, but we're going to get through it, and God's got a plan for your life. So then we're at the season of COVID, right? We're like, what in the world's going on here? And Wisconsin, we were pretty rural. It's almost like it would be the Wisconsin version of Kamei. And we were pretty open for the most part. Schools, we just finished up spring break. And we got the call that school was going to be shut down for 3 more weeks. So my son had graduated. He's out at this ministry school. My other two are still in high school. We get the call, we're off of school for 3 more weeks. We're like, Joy says, let's go to Florida. I'm like, I don't know what the country is going to, I'm in construction. I don't know what the economy is going to do. I don't know where, you know, what's, I said, no, there's people there. Like, I don't want to go there. There's a lot of people and traffic. Like, she's like, no, I think we're supposed to go. And so I found an Airbnb for $47 a night in Kissimmee, Florida, which is normally $150 a night. Booked it for 7 nights. And I'm like, I'm not sure if we should have done this. Later that day, we get the mail, and an insurance check came in the mail. I had no idea it was coming. Didn't even know what it was for. Covered our entire trip. And then we get a Costco rebate check in the mail we didn't know was coming. Covered all of our food for the trip. So I think we're supposed to go. I guess that's the way it goes. So at that time we were listening to a sermon series, and it was on, actually it was a two-part series, and it was on Genesis 26 and Psalms 91. So I'll just read it. Genesis 26, 1 through 6. Now there was a famine in the land, besides the earlier famine of Abraham's time, and Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands, and will confirm the oath I swore with the descendants. I will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and will give them all these lands, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed me and kept my requirements, my commands, my decrees, and my laws." So Isaac stayed in Gerar. Over to verse 12. Isaac planted crops in the land, and in the same year reaped 100-fold because the Lord blessed him. The man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. So there's a famine in the land. So what does he do? He plants. Well, I grew up on a huge farm in North Dakota, and typically when there's a drought or famine, stuff doesn't grow. And especially doesn't grow to the point where your crops are so much in abundance that you become very wealthy and prosperous. So we're like, wow. Okay, so I'm hearing this verse, and as his pastor was explaining it, he said, this is not the time to hold back, to withhold. When things are in most doubt, it's actually the time to sow and build. Don't stop tithing, don't stop giving. When you're in line at the restaurant, pay for the person in front of you or behind you. If you have an appointment with your hairdresser and you can't get in there for your haircut, give them those funds as if you had it done. And so we're traveling to Florida, and every place we stopped that we had a chance to do that, we did. We just kept sowing into people. We paid for the people behind us. We kept giving, kept tithing, like, Lord, we know that everything we have comes from you. And we know that you've called us to this, and we know that you're going to provide for us. So this is what we want to honor you in what we do. At the same time, we're going through Psalms 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Yes, I love that. So we're going through these two verses, right? And we're like, wow, okay. So on our trip to Florida, the Lord put on our heart that we are to carry hope and peace as we go, and that he was going to show us what that looked like. So all these places that are shutting down, all this stuff's happening, we're going to Florida. We're going to enjoy some warm weather. I figured they couldn't shut that down. And so we get down there, and yeah, the Lord just kept speaking to us. I looked over at Joy. I said, I don't know why this feels like more than a vacation. I feel like we're actually supposed to look at moving here. And I don't know why. You know, growing up in North Dakota, you don't think of moving to any place warm. Like our last winter in Wisconsin, I threw a cup of boiling water off the deck, and it turned to snow before it hit the ground. It was 38 below zero. And I don't know why. Joy's like, why didn't we do this like 20 years ago? I'm like, I don't know. Like, because I'm from North Dakota. We don't think anything differently, you know. There's people here. So we started looking at places down there, saying, okay, when our house sells in Wisconsin, then we'll look at coming down here. So we get back, get a phone call, Joy was at the coffee shop that she was working, and a couple approached her and said, hey, do you guys ever think of selling your house? Or like, okay, thinking back, like, okay, your home isn't going to be your last home, and the Lord is going to bring a buyer. We're actually not going to have to list it with a realtor. We're like, yeah, I think probably we would. And so we met with them, came to an agreement. We book a trip to Florida to go look at houses. A week before our trip came up, they backed out. We're like, oh, wow, okay. So the realtor in Florida said, well, you guys already have the places booked. Tickets are cheap. Why don't you still come down? It's like, okay. So we went down to Fort Myers, checked the area out down there. Was probably the most unsettled I'd ever felt in my entire life in Fort Myers. And I don't know why. Through that whole process, we talked to some friends, and they said, hey, you guys should check out Sarasota, Florida. We got friends who's pastoring over there. You guys should check that out. So we're like, okay, we're going to go. Next time we come to Florida, we're going to go check out Sarasota. Didn't want to live by Orlando. It was too crazy. Fort Myers was just felt strange. And so we said, all right, we'll come again. We'll go to Sarasota. So that winter, we went down as a family for Christmas. And it literally felt like I just walked into instant family. Totally felt like home. I'm like, all right, when our house sells, we'll look at Sarasota. So we get back. Joy's at the coffee shop. friend of ours, hey, I hear possibly maybe you guys would think of selling your house. Yeah, I think we would. Yeah, for sure. So we ended up settling on a price with them, and they said, okay, we would like to close on the house. It was in March, April, and started the process of seriously looking at houses in Sarasota, and we had offers on 8 places that all went for 30 to 50 grand over asking price. Like, wow, this is crazy. Everybody was moving to Florida. It was like the only place that was open, right? So California's leaving, New York's leaving, everybody's going to Florida. And so we're like, okay, Joy finds this place. It was listed, I think it had been on the market for 40 days, and put an offer in at, said, they were asking $199, said, we'll put the offer in at $215. We want to go, we'll put the offer at $199, we'll go $1,500 over any other offer up to $215. The realtor said, okay, oh wait, I just got a text from the other realtor. Oh, there's an offer ahead of yours at $215, just contingent on the appraisal. Joey's like, you know what, forget this. We'll rent someplace. We want to move to Florida, but, you know, this is crazy. We're not willing to go 40 grand over asking. Anyway, before she hung up, the realtor was like, wait. I just got another text from the other realtor. She said they're actually going to decline the other offer. They'll take your offer, and you can stay at asking price. Well, I guess that's the one. That's where we're going to go. So we ended up buying this place down there. Whole process of moving. And still going back to that word, right? Thinking like, wow, that breakthrough came. You know, we're on a road that's it's easy, or not easy, but it's good. All these things. Shut my business down in Wisconsin. Moved to Florida. Had very low payments, kind of living debt-free, almost debt-free. So I had a very, very minimal house payment. Anna and my son Nathan were in finished up their high school years in Florida. But something happened when I didn't have my business going and work. So we get down there, everybody's asking us, like, wow, what's retirement like? I'm like, I'm 42 years old, I'm not retired. Like, but we're living in an HOA, which the guys from Duck Dynasty also live in HOA, so I didn't feel so bad. But it's real, it's a real thing. Like, there's people in your business like, oh, we don't like the color of your blinds. Oh, like, I'm like, we'll call the blind police, but they won't be able to see us. So we're sitting there like, all right, you guys, like, this is, wow. Okay, but there was something that was amazing. When a tree went down, or all of the leaves on a 13-acre property in Wisconsin hit the ground, I don't have to clean them up. I was like, wow, this is kind of fun. Like, I was a little burnt out up there. And I enjoyed it for about a year. And then I'm, like, getting restless. But when we first moved there, I had a little bit of a crash to where I had about somewhere between 2 and 4 weeks. It's a little bit vague. I didn't really want to get off the couch. And I'm like, what in the world is going on here? Like, I'm a farm kid. I grew up hogging dairy chores at 4 a.m. and you go to bed when you're done with whatever you're doing for the day. And I ended up calling a friend of mine. And through that time, I'd also signed up for this men's discipleship course called Brave Co. And yeah, actually Arby got me in that in the first place. It was a conference. He said, hey, you should go to this Brave Co conference. I'm like, okay, I'll sign up, go. He doesn't go, the first one. So I went to this conference, right? And I'm thinking like, and it was called Foundations of Masculinity. And I told Joy, she's like, you should go to that conference. I'm like, I don't know, I don't really struggle with my masculinity. Like, I don't know, it's California. Like, I don't know what they're going to do, you know. I'm thinking all these things in my mind, right? She's like, ask the Lord. Oh. So I asked the Lord, and he say yes. He say you should go. I'm like, okay. So I went anyway. I had this crazy encounter during a worship service where I went through some pretty severe things in my childhood. And I remember at the end of this worship service, actually the message going into the worship service was, God, I want my whole heart back. And I remember sitting in this worship service, and they were playing the song, There's Another in the Fire by Hillsong United. And I remember being on my knees, like weeping, and saying, God, where were you? Where were you when I went through this? And I'm saying things, I'm angry. I'm just a mess. And the Lord spoke to me very clearly. He said, I was actually right with you. And I was weeping. It was never my will that you went through that. The enemy's been trying to kill you since you were born. But my son, I have a plan for your life. And you're going to bring freedom and breakthrough to other men, to other people that have gone through what you went through. I have a plan, and that's how you're going to destroy what the enemy meant to destroy you with. He's got another thing coming. So I get up like, wow, called Joy. I said, I don't know what just happened here, but like this, there's something here that I was born for. Like this is what God has put on my life. To help bring healing, restoration to families, to marriages, to husbands, to fathers, to families, to kids, like whatever this is, like I'm just committing my life to it. So fast forwarding again, I'm doing a little bit of rewinding, fast forwarding. We're back in Florida. Joy gets a job at a restaurant. She gets called into work on a day she doesn't normally work. Gets a section she doesn't normally get. And there's a couple there from a European country, and they're visiting their mom's place there. They're just there on vacation. And they had been to Malaysia. Joy's from Malaysia originally. And so they started talking about, you know, Malaysia, about food and whatever. And so they order their meal, and Joy goes to give them their bill. And as she goes up to the register, the Lord put on her heart, like, invite them over to dinner. And she's like, well, that's weird, but I'll do it. So she goes, invites them over to dinner. They come to our house, and they spoke English. She spoke more English than he did, but it's enough to communicate. So anyway, we sit down at the meal. Like, all right, let's give thanks. And so I prayed, and as I lift my head up after I get done blessing the meal, he looks at me and he says, should we say something now? Like, are we supposed to say something else? I'm like, oh, no, we're just thanking the Lord for his blessings and for everything he's done in our life, and we're just so grateful. He's like, wow, that's amazing. I'm like, yeah, okay. So we ended up having the meal. They get up to leave at the end of it and sat back down. We call it the Minnesota goodbye, where you get up to leave like five times and you stay for three more hours. And so they sit back down. And he mentioned something. He's like, yeah, for the last 6 months, I haven't been well. And I'm like, oh, like, was it like physical or emotional or like what's going on? And he looks at his wife and she like nods like as if to say like, these people are safe. And he just starts weeping. I'm like, oh man, what just happened here? And he said, I've been having night terrors. And some things that happened in my childhood came back to haunt me. And, you know, I haven't slept well, had mental breakdown, couldn't get off the couch. And what he went through was something very similar to what I went through. So in my mind, I'm thinking back to this word. What the enemy meant to use to destroy you, you're going to bring breakthrough and freedom to many men. So as he finishes sharing, I looked at him and I said, you know, I want you to know I'm so sorry that happened to you. Let me tell you a story. And I shared with him, and I said, and here's what God did in my life. And he looks at me and just, like, he said, I thought I was the only one in the world who went through this. I thought I was alone. I never would have dreamed that somebody else would have gone through this. And I just embraced him. I gave him a hug as a brother and blessed him. And as we're praying for him, because he still had trouble sleeping, Joey said, I believe that, as I pray for him, I said, you know, the Lord's going to give you supernatural sleep. And Joey said, I believe actually the Lord's going to heal you through your sleep. And as we left, as they left, we blessed them, exchanged phone numbers. Joey checked with them, I think, 4 days later. Okay, so they were there, this was the last week they were in Florida. We caught them the day before they were flying out. 4 days later, Joy calls him, said, hey, how'd your trip go back? Oh, well, we got to the airport in London, and my husband didn't wake up. And we rushed him to the hospital, and he wakes up in the hospital. And he's like, well, where am I? What am I doing here? Like, I feel fine. What's going on? And Joy said, you remember when we prayed, like, the Lord is going to heal you through your sleep? Well, he slept so hard, he didn't wake up when they landed, right? Gets to the airport, like, wow. So just looking back, like, our time in Wisconsin, like, Lord, you have our yes. They're in this restaurant, and the Lord brings somebody clear across the pond to our little place in Florida. And I was like, wow, okay, Lord, we're listening. I'm going to fast forward and get through this last bit here. I led a Brave Code discipleship group at my house and invited one of Joy's co-workers, a younger guy named Jordan, and two other guys ended up going through this 12-week course with me. Very similar. It was the same course that you guys went through. And we're 3 weeks into this course. Okay, so we're in a region, like there's a million people in Sarasota, Bradenton, and the whole metro. There's like over a million people now. It was the fastest growing metro past Boise, like, by a bunch. We're 3 weeks in, and we're talking about kind of our family's stories, and I asked, you know, this young man, Jordan, I said, hey, do you know your parents' story? He said, yeah, they were missionaries in Brazil. I'm like, really? Like, with who? Or I said, no, where? And he said, Paraná, Brazil. And I'm like, okay, with who? Oh, this Bible school in Minneapolis called Bethany College of Missions, where all of my family members had been through. I'm like, wait a minute. What's your dad's name? Well, Doug. Huh. What's your grandpa's name? Dick. Okay. What's your last name again? Linder. I was like, your dad and your grandpa have both been to my parents' farm in North Dakota. I know your dad well. I know your mom. I know, like, the whole family, right? So I'm thinking, like, there's a million people here. And God brought Jordan Linder into my house for a Bible study. And he went through some things. We're able to work through and, you know, help get some breakthrough and some victory and just had a great time with these guys. And so the whole thing going back, right? Lord, you have my yes. Oh, kind of scared to ask, like, what's next, right? But through this whole time, the Lord showed us specifically that our time in Florida was going to be about people. We met so many people we visited 14 churches. He put on our heart, like, to see what the whole family was doing in the area, so we did. Every one of those churches we had a connection at. We met people. I'm very good friends with the major of the police department there now, who is just second in command only to the sheriff. Like, through them, I met their whole police department. I play basketball 4 days a week, 4 nights a week. With our night shift guys at 10 p.m., we play for an hour and a half, and just got to meet these guys and talk life and, you know, work through some things and hear their stories and, you know, just share. Like, so the Lord brought all these people into our life, and we were actually going to move to the other side of Florida and had our house on the market. November hits, we get the call. Joy's mom had a stroke. And we're like, we have no idea how to navigate this season. totally unprepared, didn't even know, like, what do we do? We're here, she's out here. And Joy flew out with no clothes because I left her bag at the house. So she flies out here indefinitely. I told my kids, I was like, you want to know what love is? I said, when the woman of your dreams looks at you and you left her bag at home and she said, it's okay, honey, I'll be fine. I said, that's love. So she gets out here, comes back to Florida. She says, because we're not leaving Florida. Like, it's pretty nice there. Like, we're on the ocean fishing, met people with boats. I didn't even have to have a boat. That was great. She's like, we have to move to Kamei. I was like, huh? Okay. You sure? Uh-huh. She said, I had my time with the Lord. I said things to him I would say to no human. And then he scooped me up in my tears and said, it's okay. I've got you. I'm not afraid of your tears. I love you. I'll provide for you. So we got our house on the market, not selling. I had, in 6 months, I think we had 10 showings. And this went from like in, when we bought our place, in like 6 minutes, you're going to have 10 showings. It was weird. We're in a condo, and some friends of ours said, hey, my parents want to move down here. They might be interested in your place. And so anyway, they came in. Ended up, they said, yeah, if it doesn't sell with the realtor, we'd love to be your backup. And agreed on a price. They ended up having to reduce the price. They couldn't get to where we needed to be in the end. So we're like, well, okay, we'll still sell it if it doesn't sell with the realtor. Or if we don't have another offer somewhere. They're like, okay, you know, we're not in any hurry. If it does, it does. If it doesn't, it doesn't. So the whole time we got it for sale, the Lord kept speaking to us, wait, keep listening. Okay, so we're at the last day of the listing with the realtor. We're supposed to have a showing. It's pouring rain, which it does in Florida. A lot of rain. It's the reason everything's green. And showing gets canceled. And I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. You know, we'll take the other offer, which is still a good offer. We're going to make some profit on the house, but still looking at prices out here, I was like, wow, I don't know how we're going to do it. I'm out loading some stuff in my truck. I see this vehicle drive by, and I notice they had Wisconsin plates. I'm like, well, that's weird. So they go, they park on the other side and sit there like they're looking at their phone. So I went over, I said, no, I was back in my truck. I'm like, wow, this is odd. Wonder if it, what they're looking for. And I heard this voice say, go talk to them. Okay. Went over, knocked on the door. I'm like, hey, you guys looking for an address or something? Or like, oh, yeah, there's a place in this next building over here for sale. We don't have a realtor. We're just driving through to see if we like the area. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I said, our place is also for sale. You can check it out on the listing. Here it is. And gave us some info. I'm like, all right, we'll check it out. So I go back to my truck thinking like, well, okay, it's too late, whatever. I hear this voice again say, go invite them in. Okay, I go back over, knock on the window. Hey, you guys want a tour of the house? Like, sure, that'd be great. So they came in, looked at the house. We sold it furnished, which I hate moving furniture. So anytime we can sell a house furnished, I'd much rather go that route. So I like, yes, it's a furnished house. You know, went through, and they're like, all right, we're on a pretty limited budget. They told us what their budget was, which our house was listed under that. And I said, listen, it was the last day with the realtor listing. I said, nothing's happening. I said, if you guys are interested in the house, we'll sell it to you for this price. And but I said, I would need to know like today. I'm like, all right, you know, that sounds good. We'll talk it over. So this is 5 o'clock in the evening. 9 o'clock that night, I get a phone call. Hey, we want to buy your house. I'm like, it was 20 grand over what the other couple had offered as a backup. And we ended up closing 2.5 weeks later. They had to get an appraisal, which is unheard of. The whole process ended up being like there was hiccup after hiccup after hiccup. But the Lord kept saying to us, keep listening, wait, don't panic. And ended up, yeah, 2.5 weeks later we sold. They are a couple from Wisconsin. They moved there, their daughter went through a pretty ugly divorce. They came over with their 5-year-old granddaughter the next morning after we came to the agreement, signed the paperwork, got to pray with them, encourage them. They're from Racine, Wisconsin. So I'm like, wow. So we're from Wisconsin. The Lord ends up bringing another Wisconsin buyer for us. The very last moment of any earlier it would have been this, any later it would have been this, but he kept speaking to us. So we ended up being able to put an offer on a house out here in Kamei. We got it right away, and we were able to get into it debt-free. So we're going through a remodel process right now. It's been a little bit crazy. But back to the words in Genesis and in Psalms. In the time when everybody should be afraid of something, sometimes being afraid that you're going to get killed in traffic in Florida. WTF stands for Welcome to Florida. We found out. So you don't, yeah. What does it look like to sow when it looks bleak? To plant when it looks like you should hide? And what does it look like living in the shelter of his wings? He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. That means that we have two options. We can focus on the enemy around us, or we can focus on the feast that's right in front of us that he prepared. So what does this look like? There's an invitation to build, to sow, to plant. And something that was on my heart, actually, Joshua and Emily, would you guys mind standing up? So when I saw you guys a few weeks back when you first came, you were highlighted. You guys were highlighted to me, and I was asking the Lord this morning, like, what is it? I feel like I have a word for you guys, and it's really about legacy. It's about sowing into your future. I don't know, you know, the whole situation with the bus and that whole life. I mean, fascinated by it. We almost bought a schoolie. But it's, the Lord has you here for a very specific reason. He's going to show you about planting and sowing into your future, into your legacy, that everything that you put your hands to is going to prosper. There's a word about abiding in the presence of the Lord, abiding in him, meaning that daily spend time with him. Learn the importance of just setting that time aside. And I believe that he's strengthening your marriage. He's going to raise you guys up to be amazing parents. You're doing today for yourselves. You're actually sowing and planting. And the Lord's going to show you specifically what that looks like. And that he's got his hand on your lives. He's so proud of both of you. Joshua, you're an amazing son. Emily, you're a daughter of the King. And you guys have an amazing gift. There's something so powerful the Lord has in your life. I want to bless you guys. So if you guys could reach your hands out to them. Lord, we bless Josh and Emily. Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, for abundance in their finances. Lord, as they spend time with you, they'll have an amazing times with each other. As their relationship with you is strengthened, their relationship with each other is strengthened. I pray a hedge of protection upon them in everything that they do. Give them wisdom and vision, Lord, for what it is that you have for them. We bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. And Artie, this morning when I was praying, I'm like, God, what do you have? And he showed me a picture of somebody walking into the church with the right foot kind of dangling as you walked forward. And I'm like, okay, what is this? And there was something very specific that, and I don't know if this word resonates, so if it doesn't, throw it out. You're not being punished. God is so pleased with you. your heart for him. He loves. He's going to heal you. I don't know if there's something in your family line too, or a family history of something, but I believe that that is broken off, that that all ends today. All that we have to do to break generational things is to break the agreement. So I just lift up Artie to you. I bless her, God, right now in Jesus' name. Pray you heal her foot, that that infection leaves right now in the name of Jesus. It has no place in her life. We just pray complete healing, Lord, rest and peace. That in her times with you, Lord, it would be daily encounters with you, that every day would be a story that she can share with her family of the goodness of God, of what he has done. When all looks bleak, God is good, and here's who he is. He's a good, good father. He is not punishing me. I just bless you in Jesus' name. So those are a few things the Lord put on my heart to share coming out. I know I went fast. I skipped a lot of things. One of my next messages will be on my personal testimony, and a lot of things will tie in with that too. But I felt like this word about sowing, about planting, about trusting in God, about, you know, not giving up when it looks like we're supposed to have this easy thing. The Lord's actually calling us to persevere, to dig in, to grow. Don't shrink back. It's the time to sow. It's the time to plant, and he's got you covered. So I just want to bless you all with that, and thanks for letting me share this morning.